This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. As plans for the redesign of Alamo Plaza evolve, the Cenotaph has become a focal point in the debate to renovate the historic battle site. The most recent draft of the Alamo Master Plan calls for moving the monument to another location, as well as repairing the aging stone and concrete frame. But some are calling this plan an insult to the defenders of the Alamo. How was this monument? How did it come to be at the Alamo? And how did it become so controversial? Do you think the Cenotaph should be left alone, or should we be updated along with the entire Alamo Plan? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guests this afternoon, we're joined by Sue Ann Pemberton. She is a tri-chair of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee. Lee Spencer White is the president of the Alamo Defenders Descendants Association. Scott Huddleston is the reporter for the San Antonio Express News. And Clinton McKenzie is a Center for Archaeological Research at the University of Texas at San Antonio. It's great to have all of you guys with us this afternoon. We're going to have a good conversation. Our goal is to educate the public about what are the issues and what are we talking about with the Cenotaph. So let me go to Sue Ann first, tri-chair of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee. Can you talk about what the proposal is right now for the Cenotaph?
Currently, the proposal is to relocate it from where it is right now, more closely aligned with an original location that it was proposed to be installed, which is about 500 feet south of where it is currently located.
So that would put it in front of the Minger?
Basically, yes.
But still on the footprint of what we now know as Alamo Plaza?
Yes, we call it Alamo Plaza. It was Alamo Park at one point, and that was where it was originally proposed to go.
Was it still inside what we knew as the grounds, inside the walls of the Alamo?
No, it would be right outside.
Okay, and so why move it there?
One, it was one of the original locations proposed for it, and the other one is to be able to understand the original compound, the original mission footprint more easily without having the Cenotaph kind of like right in front of the long barracks, in front of the chapel itself, but to be able to kind of recapture the feeling and the vastness of what was actually the plaza in front of the chapel.
And so Lee Spencer White, president of the Alamo Defenders Descendants Association, y'all apparently are not happy with the plan to move the Cenotaph. Is that right?
That's correct. We are not happy to have any idea of moving the Cenotaph, which is the symbolic tomb of the defenders, outside the walls they died defending. And I would like to mention that's actually not correct about the first site being in its proposed current location. The first site was actually at the lunette, or the front gate of the Alamo.
Okay, and where is that in relations to?
About in front of the DRT library.
Okay, so that would actually be inside the...
That would still be inside the fortress walls.
Okay, and but how did it get to be where it is now?
You know, this discussion of where it wanted to be before, or there was some discussion of it, again, that was in the early planning of it. It was decided that it would be in front of the long barracks, which does not obstruct the view of the chapel. It's actually in the center or the heart of the Alamo Fort, and it takes away from the huge skyscrapers around it. You know, you've got the Emily Morgan to the right, which is like 13 stories, and you've got the big wedding cake federal building sitting actually on part of the walls of the Alamo, and you've got the Gibbs building. So I thought it was just a genius thing for the architects to put this monument where they did, because it takes your eye away from these tall buildings, brings it back down to the Alamo, where the focal point would be on the Alamo grounds itself.
Well, Clinton McKenzie, Center for Archaeological Research at the University of Texas San Antonio, What can you tell us about the Cenotaph and plans and how it got there and in relations to the original Alamo?
Well, the Cenotaph itself is a Texas Centennial monument.
So it's commissioned in 1936. It was dedicated in 1940.
That's correct. And the archaeology related to that is, you know, we didn't do any archaeology at the time when the cenotaph was put in, but we don't know of any, as your other guests have already noted, the cenotaph itself is not on the site of the funeral pyres. And so it's an empty tomb, but we don't expect there to be any burials beneath the cenotaph itself.
Of Alamo defenders.
That's correct.
But so Scott Huddleston, reporter for the San Antonio Express News, and you've been doing a great job of covering every development along the way. Why do you think this became so significant, the debate over the cenotaph?
Thank you, David. I think that there's a dichotomy of thought here, because there are design rationale reasons for moving the cenotaph. And there also are emotional rationale reasons for keeping it there. And so there's kind of a disconnect from between the two groups as to how to address this issue. You've got this large 60-foot tall structure right in the middle of a plaza where they would like to have demonstrations and ceremonies and that kind of thing in an open space. And it kind of dominates that space. But at the same time, you have people who are very passionate, who believe that this is a monument to the fallen defenders of the Alamo, and it needs to stay within what we call the historic footprint.
I'm going to take a caller. The number is 210-614-8980, and this is Carlos. Carlos, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay.
I wanted to say that I am against the removal of this monument. I think it's just fine the way it is, but also wanted to add my two bits regarding the fact that I don't believe the entire renovation of the Alamo Plaza is necessary in itself. I am one of the individuals who believe that this is kind of a waste of taxpayer dollars, and I have, as of yet, have not seen any indication that this will bring in more tourist revenue into our city or is socially justified. And I'd like to hear from your guests whether or not my view is one that they have resonating with them.
All right, Carlos, thank you for the call. Sue-Ann, you're the tri-chair of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee. Can you give us a brief understanding of why are we talking about a rethinking of Alamo Plaza?
For several years now, there has been, I guess, an expression of disappointment and that we can do a better job as the citizens of San Antonio.
The Alamo experience was...
The Alamo experience has been somewhat of a letdown for many people.
Because you would go and you would hear the screaming people at these tourist attractions across the street, and it was just... It was not. You didn't have a feeling of reverence.
And you had no idea where the actual footprint of the original mission was. It was very difficult to kind of put it in context. I mean, there were even statements like when you'd ask somebody and they'd say, well, why did they put it downtown? You know, it's just like they don't understand that that's kind of like what begat downtown.
Okay. All right. So we'll talk more about how this is developed, why we have an Alamo reimagination process going on, how the public is being involved in this, the descendants of the defenders. And also, the Alamo belongs to everyone. And so we got to figure out what is the solution here and what are the facts. So you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the cenotaph at Alamo Plaza. It's become the flashpoint of people who are critical of the redevelopment of the Alamo Plaza plan, a plan that people have said it's necessary because the Alamo Plaza that we had didn't really honor the defenders of the Alamo in a way that they deserved. It was small. It was seemed very touristy. It was very difficult to manage and explain and get an idea of what the experience, what the Alamo was like at the time of the Texas Revolution. I'm going to go over to Lee Spencer White. She's the president of the Alamo Defenders Descendants Association. And can you tell me how you feel about, you know, the Alamo, the one we grew up with here in San Antonio, and what they want to do with it now? And do you see a need to make an update?
Of course I see a need to be able to tell a better story. We all agree we could use a state-of-the-art museum, which is really where you're going to tell the story. We all agree that there needs to be some restoration in the historic buildings. Where we differ is the plaza. Can it be done better? Absolutely. Could we close the street? Absolutely. There's a lot of things you can do and compromise in that areas. But, yes, would I like to be more reverent? Absolutely. You know, the city of San Antonio could have, with the swipe of a pen, gotten rid of some of the buildings. And some of the buildings.
Which buildings?
I was saying the businesses in the buildings.
Okay, once they had the money. They had to pay for it. They had to buy those buildings.
No, I'm talking about the businesses that are located in the Crockett Block that everyone's screaming about, you know, the horror haunted house and stuff. You know, that could be dealt with ordinances. You don't necessarily have to do something drastic. So what I guess I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot of issues that have been happening on Alamo Plaza for decades that the city could have controlled. You know, all of the crazy parades, and I'm not talking about the Battle of Flowers. I'm talking about all the crazy things like the Red Bull Run and, you know, all of those kind of things. It, you can tell it's been very, very commercial for decades. And the city fathers are the ones that have been in charge of that.
Okay, so I'm trying to zero in and get a finer point on what you're saying, that you don't see a need to do this major renovation. You want to just clamp down with ordinances to try to pick who's allowed to use the Alamo for historic purposes. Tell me more.
No, I am for a plan, not necessarily this exact plan, but yes, I am for improvements downtown. I was just making the point of, before the plan came to fruition or we had this discussion, there was things that could have been done by the city. So, again, do I think there's improvements that need to be done on Alamo Plaza? Yes. Am I against everything in this new plan? No. I like a lot of aspects of the new plan.
But do you think that we could do a lot of the good things that you see with the plan and leave the cenotaph where it is?
Absolutely. There is nothing in the plan that should eliminate the cenotaph. Whether you're digging down your 18 inches, you can go around it. Does it obstruct anything? I say no.
Okay, so you're saying remove the cenotaph. No one's going to remove the cenotaph. That's not the plan, right?
This is just sort of
change the location about 500 feet.
Well, that's removing it from that site. That's
okay.
What I'm saying. When I say removal, I'm saying removing it from the site in which it sits.
All right. Let me go over to Scott and with Express News. Can you kind of talk about where we are with this, like with the plan and the cenotaph and what people are reacting to?
Well, there are many facets to this. There's the possibility of closing those streets to traffic in the plaza. There's discussion of possible demolitions of some of those commercial buildings in the plaza. There's a proposal to kind of limit or move the free speech activities that we see in the plaza to the area south of it known as the Plaza de Valero so that there can be a more reverent tone in Alamo Plaza, the historic footprint during the day, so that it can be kind of an outdoor museum, a learning and reverence space. And there's been talk about, you know, should we restrict movement in the plaza with guardrails? And City Manager Cheryl Scully and Councilman Roberto Trevino have asked the management committee to relook at that and make sure that it's an open plaza with open pedestrian access.
So walls around it, the plaza and the fencing around it, that doesn't have a lot of support.
It does not. Okay. And even that's kind of throughout the whole city council, that was kind of one of the overall themes of the council feedback last year, is they felt that it should remain an open plaza. And so there are going to be some new renderings, I believe, coming up in the next week or two that will be released to the public, and a second site plan will be revealed to the public.
And Sue Ann Pemberton, with the tri-chair for the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee, you wanted to add to that? So where we are with it looks, how do you feel about the fencing around the Alamo?
I think that is not, cannot be supported by the public. It is the heart of San Antonio. While, yes, the whole compound represents the state of Texas and, you know, the world in many ways, it is still San Antonio's plaza. And I've been told it's the oldest plaza in what is now the state of Texas. And so San Antonio takes it as being a very personal space, not to be blocked off, not to be confined to certain hours and things like that.
All right, let me go back to the callers. And Paul is on the line. Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for letting me take the call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so my biggest issue, and I've attended many of these Alamo meetings, is that we've never actually been offered a plan where the cenotaph stayed in place. Furthermore, the issue with the cenotaph, again, comes that it's 60,000 pounds of Georgia marble, that if you move that, you run a very big risk of damaging it, and we already have a monument with the city council move last year that was damaged and has not been even given a commission to be replaced. Now, I have a vote of no confidence personally with the city council and with most of the people involved with the Alamo Plaza plan, but if these meetings were followed through with a more timely manner and we were given more of a heads up on their occurrence, followed with also the plan to keep the cenotaph in place. There are many other parts of this plan that I've seen that I do agree with.
Okay. So real quickly, what is the other monument that was moved that was damaged?
The other monument that was moved last year was another cenotaph. It was the one in Travis Park that was for Confederate soldiers. Now, there was a lot more
All right. So let me go over to Sue Ann Pemberton, and you wanted to react to that?
Just that the cenotaph would not be moved intact. It can't even stay where it is in its current condition because it has badly damaged stones. The iron anchoring system behind it is failing. It's rusting. There are many cracks, and it has to be taken apart in order to be restored, put back together again.
So that is considered to be an absolute fact. Do you disagree with that?
Absolutely disagree with it.
Let me reintroduce you. Okay. So Lee Spencer White with the Alamo Defenders Defendants Association.
Yes, absolutely agree.
You don't see the cracks on the...
Yes, there's superficial issues. I'm not debating that whatsoever. And there's actually some vandalism to Bowie's nose, etc. But the assessment survey that the city conducted 4 years ago definitely shows it's not a rusting armature under there. It is all concrete. They're saying that there is nothing wrong with it that they can determine. They can see the superficial issues. And that's where we are. So it is a myth that the thing is in dire shape.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Clinton McKenzie with the Center for Archaeological Research. Have y'all done research into the cenotaph and if it's concrete or iron or if it's fallen apart?
No, the University of Texas at San Antonio is not the archaeology. We have nothing to do with the assessment of that.
Okay, Scott Huddleston with the Express News.
So, David, I think that there really needs to be some work done preliminarily to see, you know, to what extent does the cenotaph need to be disassembled? And it will need to be disassembled at the top before they begin to look into it. They'll be doing laser scans and all kinds of things. So we really don't know yet to what degree the whole thing has to be disassembled. It may be that just the top can be disassembled and they can, study the issues with rainwater penetration and figure out how bad it really is and begin to develop a repair plan. And that's what they'll be doing once City Council approves an interpretive plan for the plaza. There will be a repair plan developed, and it will have to be approved by the Office of Historic Preservation with the city.
So, Scott, with the caller we had brought up the removal of the Confederate Memorial at Travis Park. There seems to be a conflating of emotional issues with the cenotaph and the removal of that Confederate statue. Have you seen that in your reporting?
It is the elephant in the room. I think that people are concerned that this cenotaph will be taken down and that it will not be put back up because there hasn't been a full-blown discussion about how much this is going to cost. We don't have a cost analysis of keeping it in place versus putting it in a new location. So there's still a lot of work to be done before we can have an honest discussion about what's going to happen to the cenotaph.
Let me go over to Lee Spencer White about that. I mean, do people fear that, is that a concern that it could go the way of the Confederate Memorial?
I have heard that basically there's a distrust with the city. For me personally, I am concerned about it staying on that location. And yes, we need more study into the Cenotaph. I'd like to have more experts review it. We need a plan for restoration, whether it stays there or elsewhere. But again, I look at it and say, how can you make a vote or even plan on it being moved until you have an expert opinion?
On if it can be moved?
Well, whether it can be moved, how much it would cost to repair it. It may be less than $200,000 to repair it and $3 million to move it.
Okay, and so can you respond to that, Sue Ann Pemberton, with the Tri-Chair of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee?
The Cenotaph definitely needs attention. And even the report that was done 4 years ago shows stones that are badly fractured and stones.
And that's
that are,
not a superficial
it's
crack.
It's not a superficial crack. There is mortar that is missing out of the joints, and so water has been getting into the structure for some time now. And some of the stones are out of true. They're not plumb and true anymore. And there does need to be a big investigation. Last year, as part of the master plan, there was also additional investigation indicating that the Cenotaph needs work.
And so, it needs work. I mean, you debate that, though.
No, I agree it needs work. The city of San Antonio has not kept it grouted in 80 years. It has been left to neglect. And, yes, there's some issues there. And there's repair, absolutely.
Okay. Is that the city of San Antonio's job, or was that the DRT?
It was the city of San Antonio's job.
And so, Scott Huddleston, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that the issue of how much repair it needs is critical, because if it needs a whole lot of repair, then suddenly, you know, the idea of relocation kind of makes more sense. But if it just needs a little bit of repair at the top, then, you know, relocating is going to be very costly.
And have y'all done any studies to that, Sue Ann Pemberton?
There have been a couple of the studies, as I mentioned, one 4 years ago that was done by the city, and then the one last year as part of the master planning. It is something that is going to be investigated more thoroughly as we continue to move forward. There are other things, not just structural issues regarding the Cenotaph. There are names that are missing. There's a name that should not be on there. There are misspellings, and it seems to be an opportunity to make several corrections, not only physically, but in the telling the story.
Okay, all right. We're going to continue discussing the Cenotaph at Alamo Plaza. We've got a lot of callers here. We'll get you on the air when we come back from this break. We're learning more and more about some of the issues behind this memorial that stands in front of the Alamo, whether or not it actually is in danger of falling apart. As we're hearing, there's some sort of trust issues on whether or not those reports can be believed. There are other conflating emotional issues regarding the removal of the Confederate Memorial that was at Travis Park last year. We'll continue talking about that as well, because there seems to be a lot of emotional baggage with the Cenotaph. Would it improve or would it diminish somehow Alamo Plaza if the Cenotaph was to be moved 500 feet? You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll get our callers on the air when we come back from this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Cenotaph at Alamo Plaza. Should it stay or should it go? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And Owen is on the line. Owen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just have a comment. I remember when I was young, first went to the Alamo, and I thought, wow, is this all there is to it?
Okay. All right. So Owen, he was part of the people that went to the Alamo. You hear about it growing up. You hear the stories, and you show up, and you say it's in the middle of downtown, and it's kind of underwhelming. Lee Spencer White, president of the Alamo Defenders Descendants Association, why do you think that is?
because the city encroached upon the Alamo. Obviously, downtown and the Alamo didn't look like it does today in 1836. It's unfortunate. Again,
when you say the city, it's just like, you know.
Well, the city grew through the years, you know, from 1836 in the time.
You're not going to play Ron Nuremberg for this, are you?
No, no, I promise not to do that. But, yes, it is disappointing because people are shocked. Hey, there's buildings around here. They're expecting to see John Wayne's Alamo. Well, I'm sorry, folks. The city of San Antonio has grown up around it. It's commercialized all the way around the Alamo.
Do you think that these changes would make it more like of an experience that people would appreciate and walk away from saying they're not going to be thinking about Pee-wee Herman. They're going to be thinking about the Defenders?
Well, what I will say is as long as the buildings are all around it, they're still going to have that fishbowl feeling, and that's unfortunate. Short of taking down buildings for, you know, three blocks around the Alamo, which is not going to happen, how can you visually let the Alamo breathe? And that's why I go back to the Cenotaph being so brilliant to take the eye and the focal point back down to the Alamo instead of to those buildings.
Well, there were people like J. Frank Dobie, who is considered to be the father of Texana storytelling and history, who really was opposed to the Cenotaph as a monument. He said it detracted from the Alamo in and of itself. You don't need a monument to the Alamo. The Alamo itself is a monument.
Well, I have to laugh about that. Actually, J. Frank Dobie is from the area that I grew up in, obviously before my time. And many people have responded to that. I'm not saying I am, but said he was probably drunk again. So when he made that comment.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, just making fun of him. And
so that's not sort of a quip, not a real response.
No, just a little quip from South Texas. But again, J. Frank Dobie was well known, a great writer, great author, and he had his opinion about the Cenotaph. Again, we are now in present day. The Cenotaph stands there. It's important for it to continue to stand there to make sure that it is remembered. And no, I can't tell you that in today's plan that the Alamo is going to be just about the Defenders. We already know that's not true. So,
what do you mean?
Well, is the Alamo, J. Frank Dobie's Alamo in 1936 and 1940 is a different story, thank God, told than the one in 36. We're more inclusive. We're wanting to tell about the mission period. We're wanting to tell about more things than just the 1836 battle. However, we want the 1836 battle to be the shining moment. That's why we're even having this discussion.
Sure. All right, let me go back to the phones with Rick. And Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. They said I didn't have much time, so I'll keep it short and sweet, and I want to focus solely on the Cenotaph, and I've got 3 points to make. Number one, the issue about it being related to the funeral pyres is totally bogus. That's an old legend. We can do away with that one. It has nothing to do with that. The placement is very specific and for a purpose. Pompeo Capini, and there's a voluminous documentation between him and the governor in the 30s, he put that there in it where it's at for a specific purpose. Before 1936, most people thought most of the Defenders died in the church. He wanted to indicate that most of them died in the Long Barracks, which is right adjacent to the Cenotaph, and clear that up, and that's why it's where it's at, and that's why it needs to stay there. Secondly, the study, there's been a great study. We had to go to get a Freedom of Information Act to get it. They've hit it. They've sat on it for 4 years. It's a very detailed engineering professional study. It tells exactly what needs to be done to the Cenotaph, and there's two options, and the higher of the two options is $260,000. The planners themselves have said it would cost over $1.5 million just to move the thing, and neither one of these options entails moving it. It doesn't need to be moved to be repaired. That's a whole smokescreen.
Okay, all right, so you left a lot there, so let me go over to Sue Ann Pemberton with the tri-chair of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee. He says there is some sort of hidden study that's not being exposed?
The study is on the city's website and can be accessed there, indicating a lot of the deterioration that has happened. The study is 4 years old, so any cost estimate that was done 4 years ago is totally out of date at this point.
We can fix that. We can just, you know, use common sense to make those adjustments.
Right. And but it's been deteriorating again for an additional 4 years also. So it has to be updated. The evaluation of the condition needs to be more thoroughly investigated at this point in time.
Okay, let me go to another caller. This is Forrest. Forrest, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm an Alamo Defender descendant. My great-great-great-grandfather's name is the first name on the west side of the cenotaph. I'm also on the Citizen Advisory Committee. I am for moving it, even as an Alamo Defender descendant. It's compromise. It's compromise from the Market Street location, which I didn't want. But when does the Alamo get put first? The Battle of Flowers wants the street to stay open. People want no walls or any delineation of the compound. They want it free and open. That means street preachers, anti-circumcision protesters, and all that continues to go on. When does the Alamo get put first? 182 years of compromise, and the Alamo be put second. The cenotaph, they want that not to be moved. The Battle of Flowers, they don't want the street to be closed. People don't want any kind of delineation. When does the Alamo get put first in all this?
All right. Thank you, sir. When does the Alamo get put first? What do you think he means by that?
Well, I think it is being put first right now, or we wouldn't have this discussion. So now we're working out the details. And as he mentioned, there are controversies on walls, not walls, et cetera. Today we're talking about the cenotaph and keeping it inside the fortress walls, where they died.
Okay, and so I think Sue Ann Pemberton, when people talk about the Alamo, and you know, the Alamo's been there hundreds of years. We had a battle there, but that is the reason why we remember that area and why we have a cenotaph is because of the Battle of the Alamo. I mean, so does that get put first?
That is the thing that opens the door for everybody's intrigue into wanting to learn more. Many people come to San Antonio and they think that the chapel is the Alamo, as opposed to being one component of the Alamo, that the mission itself was much larger.
Well, it's on the postcards.
I know. And it takes a great photo. You know, it's a great backdrop. But that's only one piece of it. And so the idea of really addressing the Alamo, I think, is finally being done. There's has been just a contract that's being released to an architectural firm, a preservation firm, to address the deterioration issues in the chapel and the long barracks, and to look at the restoration of that. It's just several moving pieces that are happening.
So Scott Huddleston at the Express News, any given Saturday you go down to the Alamo, you're going to see a circus of people with their protest of any given issue. I've seen people protesting anti-United Nations, people wanting to bring back the swastika as a positive symbol. PETA's there frequently. Right. I mean, should the Alamo be off limits for those people who are? It's always been attracted. That's where the Tea Party was launched. I remember when that all happened. So, using the Alamo as a free speech zone.
Mm-hmm. That's a very difficult philosophical question to be addressed, and people are going to have different opinions about it. These men fought for freedom by ideal. And so how do you decide what to do about that? Do you regulate free speech in that specific area? Do you move it to the south? Is that really preserving the memory of the Alamo in a dignified way? That's a philosophical question.
But you don't see stuff like that at Gettysburg, do you?
No. There are specific rules at places like Gettysburg and Arlington National Cemetery, and that's part of what this whole Alamo plan is about, is to decide what is appropriate for that space.
And Lee Spencer White, do you think it would be disrespectful to tell everyone who wants to use the Alamo as a platform for their particular issue that they have to move to a certain area south of the wall?
Well, as a person who has ceremonies there, I found it very disrespectful to have, you know, whether a protest is going on or street preacher, etc. So yes, I would like to see there be a designated area, whether it be one portion of the fort or it be in front of the Minger. And that again goes back to why I don't want the cenotaph moved in front of the Minger Hotel, because the plan calls for all the protests, etc., to be placed there.
Okay, and so putting that zone there, Sue Ann Pemberton, can you tell me a little bit more about the thinking behind that?
The idea is that everybody's trying to make a more reverent, more respected compound and understand, again, the footprint of the mission, the Alamo, and that it's a very philosophical discussion, as Scott said, that it's a tough call because for a long time the citizens have used this as their platform. But if we're trying to make the site more reverent to the actual compound, then it does need to be removed.
All right. And we'll be talking about that when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980. When we come back, we'll dig in a little more into the archaeological research at the Alamo. The number is 210-614-8980 if you've got a question or a comment. The Source continues right after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the cenotaph at Alamo Plaza. We got a tweet from Garrett. I support any changes to the Alamo and its surroundings that provide a more accurate and thoughtful visual representation of the area's history. I think the current layout doesn't properly convey the mission's historic importance. Another email from Maria. We need to move the original cenotaph and add a cenotaph to memorialize the native Tejanos who fought at the Battle of the Alamo. If you've got a question or a comment, you can call in 210-614-8980. Clinton McKenzie's with us. He's with the Center for Archaeological Research at the University of Texas at San Antonio. One of the reasons that kicked off this whole issue of redevelopment of Alamo Plaza was that there was an examination of the chapel and seeing that that building needed major work. And part of the work is that they needed to kind of dig out ground in front of the plaza, in front of the chapel. Can you tell me more about that?
So the any work that's going to be done related to subsurface in that area, we know from previous archaeology that there are deposits, in some cases human burials. The chapel was used as a burying ground. And we also know from some of the historical documents of the period that it appears that there was a cemetery in front, which is called a camposanto or a holy field, and that there would be burials in that location as well.
Was that native peoples?
They would be native peoples, neophytes from in the mission. That's correct.
Okay, so when we talk about the history of the Alamo and keeping the Alamo first, people are maybe asking you, which Alamo are you talking about putting first? Some are still very much rooted into the history of it being an important Spanish mission, in which one of the reasons why San Antonio was founded.
That's correct. And from an archaeological standpoint, we've been able to document all the periods of the Alamo. As it was San Antonio de Valero as a mission, we don't have a single focus on time. We don't just look at the period of the battle. We look at the entire history of the property.
And another issue that's being talked about, and real quickly, Scott Heddleston, you've written about this, about the closing of the streets in front of the Alamo.
Right.
And today in the paper, you have a really good piece about La Soya Street, which is kind of the parallel to Alamo Street and is sort of like a back alley for many of the Riverwalk restaurants. And that would be now the main street for traffic flow, and whether or not that street is up to handle that, I don't see how it could. But also, people are really wondering about the parade route.
Right.
I mean, it seems kind of trivial, the parade route, but this is really important. If you grew up in San Antonio and you marched in a high school band, you can remember the chills you got marching in front of the Alamo during the Battle of Flowers parade or the Flambeau. It's really an important part of being growing up in this town.
Right.
I mean, can you talk about that?
Sure. The Battle of Flowers parade goes back to the very beginnings of Fiesta in 1891, when there was the first Battle of Flowers. And the tradition of that parade has been for every float, every entry, every band that comes by presents a wreath that's placed at the Alamo Church. And what they're saying, the parade officials don't like the rerouting because they no longer will be able to pass directly in front of the iconic Alamo Church. And so they're going to miss that part of that tradition.
And so, Sue Ann Pemberton, any way that we can close the street to commercial traffic? Obviously, all the trucks and the cars and the scooters are not good for the foundation of the Alamo, but being able to reopen it for a parade run.
We have a conflict in whether we try to lower the existing grade level which we know from historic photographs has actually gotten higher and higher because we've lost more of the detail on the columns on the facade of the chapel itself. So if we were to do that, then we obviously have to create a lower level all through that street level in order to accomplish lowering the grade around the chapel itself. And if that has to happen, I don't know how you really manage a dip.
So, I mean, you just can't have a pathway for a parade route. That would be because there would be a step down at when you get to Alamo Plaza.
Somewhere there's going to be a step down.
And that would be, so that seems like an engineering issue.
Yes.
It's a physical design issue. Those floats would have to ramp down, but then the harder part is they would have to ramp back up somehow at the end. But there's also the issue of reverence because that parade does generate a lot of trash.
Okay. All right. That's something that we probably need to do another show on. I got a lot of calls here. I'm going to try and get as many of the folks on the air to. And Lloyd, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. I particularly oppose transferring Alamo Plaza, Alamo Street, or Houston Street to the state, because no telling what in 1 year, 10 years, or 15 years, no telling what on earth they could do there and just shut us out. And there's no need to lower that plaza. Just have to go out and see what they did in the 1930s at San Jose Mission in front of that wonderful facade of San Jose. They had an area maybe 17 feet wide and 20-some-odd feet wide. They gently lowered it 2 steps. You can see the entire facade, and you didn't have to dig up all of San Jose Plaza.
All right, Lloyd, thank you for that. Let me go. I got a lot of calls. And Steve, you're on the air. Steve.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say there's one answer to this whole problem about the Senate cap, and it's going to be decided this November in the election. And Mr. Bush is the driving force behind this. His opponent, Miguel Suazo, is firmly committed to not move the Senate cap, and the choice is clear. So I'm a firm, lifelong Republican, but I'm voting for Miguel Suazo. If we don't, it's going to end up just like the Confederate statue. It'll be gone, never to be seen again, and that's your choice.
All right, Steve, thank you for that. Keith, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, sir.
Yes. My recommendation is, let me turn the car off. There you go. My recommendation is leave the cenotaph where it is, repair it, correct it, the names, and then rebuild the walls but keep them on the Alamo property. Do not block the streets. And you can have a little plaque there, a nice little bronze plaque saying the original walls were 100 feet further out. And they rebuild the palisades where David Crockett fought. And that way people would have an appreciation of the size of the Alamo and also the walls as well, and put cannons up there in the corner.
All right, I'm going to Leon. Leon, welcome to The Source. You get your say. Go ahead. Hey, Leon, you there? Okay.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to clear up a couple of the questions about the where the actual remains of the Alamo Defenders are buried. I think they're at San Fernando Cathedral. Is that not correct?
All right, Leon, thank you for that. So let me go over to Clinton McKenzie to answer that, because there's a plaque there at San Fernando Cathedral.
It's a good question. There's a plaque at San Fernando claiming to hold the remains of some of the Alamo heroes. Those remains were discovered in 1930, right around the time of the centennial, and the Archbishop Drosertz wanted to have a centennial memorial, and it was not approved. Research by the Texas Historical Commission convinced that to not be funded. The actual burials themselves, we have enough historical documentation that we have a pretty good idea where they were located. And there were two funeral pyres. One was located, which is now underneath the parking garage.
So it's kind of weak to kind of say those are actual defenders' remains at the San Fernando Cathedral. It's not.
That is correct.
Pretty thin.
There are actually probably remains of some folks that were murdered at the Battle of Rosillo.
Okay, well, that's something in and of itself to be examined. Well, let's go over to Lee Spencer White. I want to make sure you get your say here. President of the Alamo Defenders Defenders Descendants Association. What in a perfect world, what do you want to see happen?
In a perfect world, I would like to see tourists and frequent visitors alike to walk into the space of Alamo Plaza and feel a chill, to get a spiritual connection, to know who the Alamo Defenders were. They're not just people in movies, etc., that they were living, breathing people with flaws like everyone else, but at the right moment, at the right time, they stood up for freedom, and I would like to see them revered for eternity.
So, and I've watched the videos that have been made and seen the speeches that y'all have given at the Alamo, and there's a lot of language that seems very inflammatory about how the people, like especially the mayor, Ron Nirenberg, is trying to forget the Alamo. They want to wipe out the Alamo. This is a deliberate attempt to diminish and disrespect the Alamo. I mean, is that the official view of your organization?
Absolutely not. You've never heard me say that.
But I've seen people say that at your events.
Well, there are many people, not all from our organization, at the events. So, but as far as our organization, that is not what we're saying. What we're saying is we want you to remember the defenders. We want their tomb to stay where it is. And whatever plans that we need to do at Alamo Plaza need to be done thoughtfully and not quickly, so that we don't make mistakes.
And Sue Ann Pemberton with the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee, in about a minute and a half, can tell me what perfect thing do you want to see happen here?
That's a big question. But the perfect thing is that there is a better sense of understanding in the scale of what was the mission footprint and which then became the battle location, and to have a better understanding of all the different facets, all the different lives, decades of people before the mission was constructed, the indigenous people, after that time period. You know, it's a very long and layered history at that particular site. And so a better interpretation of that would be my goal.
All right. And so when will we see another plan?
Later this month.
All right. And we'll see where the cenotaph ends up in the new plan. All right. So I want to thank all of our guests. Sue Ann Pemberton, she's with the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee. Lee Spencer White, president of the Alamo Defenders Descendants Association. Scott Huddleston is a reporter for the San Antonio Express News. And also Clinton McKenzie is the Center for Archaeological Research at the University of Texas at San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.